In the old days, it was easier to be a great man, because the ladies and gentlemen of the press had an understanding with great men. The great men could do whatever they liked in their private lives as long as they provided free booze to the press. Then the new days came, and cutbacks curtailed the open bar. Now journalists have to find some other way to pay for their drinks, and many of them have turned to gossip. Gossip exposes the foibles of the great, making them seem less great. That was an excerpt from the chapter Achieving Greatness, one of many lessons that can be found in the book How to Be an Accordion Player by Jeff Berner. Jeff Berner is a longtime singer and songwriter based in Vancouver, and this week he released his latest album, Victory Party. Jeff joins us by phone. Hello, Jeff, and welcome to CJSF.
Hi, Peter. Thanks for having me in.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Now, I know your book came out 5 years ago, but I just had to quote it since I'm a journalist and you're a great accordionist.
Well, if you come on down to the show on Saturday, I'll buy you a drink.
Oh, great. Okay, I wasn't trying to hint at that, but, you know, I appreciate it.
Oh, no, it's just it's a covenant. It's a covenant between aspiring great men and the Fifth Estate.
Right on.
Don't want to break the covenant.
No. No, you wouldn't want to do that. You have long been rooted in klezmer and punk traditions, and before this album, Victory Party, you had a specifically klezmer-themed trilogy of CDs, and now with this new album, what kind of direction is this new album taking you?
Well, it's got more klezmer elements, but it's also got more recording studio elements, and it's bigger sounding with more instruments and stuff, and it's got more trad songs on it, but the trad songs are more offensive.
Like what? How? What kind of offensive content you got in there?
Well, people will be offended. Well, some people will cheer, but others will be offended by songs about that say, are we allowed to swear on the radio? Is that okay? Or are we not allowed to swear? I don't know what it is.
Are you referring to your song about the police?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you should. Okay. But you can still talk about it.
Fuddle duddle the police, it says in the song. So, you know, that some people, they prefer people to have more respect for the police. Or, I'm trying to think. Well, I guess they're not all offensive. That's not fair. But it's maybe it's even more political, these songs, and more mention of this sharper things in it. But it's also, you know, there's clarinet and there's, like, bass and... you gotta hear it. I can't explain it exactly.
Okay, well, we'll definitely play a track of yours at the end.
But the important thing is that the last trio was kind of live off the floor, acoustic trio, like a trio of instruments. And this is a studio record with, like, things that you can't even do live.
Yeah, I was going to mention you. I know you teamed up with the Montreal artist So-Called to produce it. And I know he's widely known for being one of the other Canadians creatively remaking klezmer. What influence has he brought to the tone of the album?
Well, he just has a much better sense of groove and sonic. Has a wider sonic palette. My strengths are the singer-songwriter strengths of, like, lyrics and you know, song structure and stuff. But he is a great arranger, and he's a great he's a great sound finder and maker.
Right on. And so, how did you come to be so largely steeped in klezmer as a songwriter?
I just really, I have friends who are sort of alt country type people, and they felt they were punk rockers, but they had grown up on farms and ranches, and So they were kind of reclaiming their heritage. And I thought that I would like to do that with my own heritage. And then when I, the deeper I got into it, it's the more I liked it and the more there was to find. And, you know, it's an infinite journey, you know what I mean?
What did that journey look like at the beginning?
Well, we just sort of dove into it with both feet or heads or something into following Bob Cohen around rural Romania in 2004, drinking backyard moonshine and well water and trying to shoo the sheep out of the way of the dirt road and things like that, and going to places where the old gypsy guys lived, the villages where the old guys lived who used to play in the wedding bands before the war. So there was it was an intense experience.
Did you do any soul-searching kind of escape getaway style searching for inspiration for this album?
Well, I guess doing the record in Montreal, which was a logistical necessity because Josh was there and the Brooklyn Klezmer Boys, that was the closest for them. Montreal has a very different flavor than Vancouver. It's much more urban-based urban culture, and there's more Jewish heritage there. You know, we were fueled by bagels and smoked meat for this record. So I think that might have played a role for sure. And it's a sophisticated musical culture there, and it's really easy to kind of find yourself in the music scene there.
And I know for a lot of the current Jewish fine and performing arts music scene here in Canada have a cultural connection to Israel. Lots of Jewish Canadians have plenty of access to lessons on the Hebrew language, and the arts are often easier to find in Hebrew as well than Yiddish. Why is Yiddish more prominent in your lyrics?
Well, that's my real heritage, is the Yiddish, you know. Modern Hebrew was invented relatively recently as a nationalist project, and you know, Hebrew is great and everything, but what makes my ethnic branch of the Jews distinct is that they spoke Yiddish, or one of the things that makes them distinct is their language, you know. So and klezmer music is mostly, if there is singing, it's generally in Yiddish, not in Hebrew. Hebrew, it would be for sacred purposes.
And so also on the topic of local Jewish performing arts, the last time you played Chutzpah, which was the festival which actually just passed, that was back in 2004. And I believe you haven't been invited back since. Why is that?
Well, they're talking about it now. I guess they wanted to take a break there. We did this thing. I heard that most of the performances were going on at the Jewish Community Center there, and I'd heard that this organization, Jews for a Just Peace, had been barred from putting on events or at the Jewish Community Center. So it seemed like a part of our community was being excluded because they had a dissenting voice about Israeli internal and foreign policy, which is odd. And so I just invited a kid from Jews for a Just Peace to do a little rap inside one of our songs at the performance. And so I didn't like stop the show and like rant against the JCC or like wreck anything, or we just registered this fact that if you're going to have the Jewish Community Center, you should pretty much everybody should have a voice in the Jewish community at the Jewish Community Center.
Yeah, and one of your more recent moments in the political spotlight was for a song you wrote about the Vancouver Olympics. What's the story there?
Oh, I just wrote a song that was kind of tongue-in-cheek, pretending to be the official theme song. It's called "The Dead Children Were Worth It," and it's just about how they closed the office responsible for investigating the deaths of children about the same time they announced that they had won the bid, and all the money they were going to... They couldn't afford this $4 million program where you find out why kids, we tell parents why their kids had died. You couldn't afford that, but we were going to, and at the same time they announced these insane mega project expenditures. And so it was just a kind of a satire, you know, trying to ask the question of what are our priorities here? Why does Grandma have to wait longer for her hip replacement? Oh, we don't have the money. But wait till you see the party we're spending all this money on. And now, here in the city of Vancouver, we got a housing crisis. We got this massive debt for the Olympic Village and all this other crap. And it's all, you know, money. That money isn't there to pay for these problems because we spent it. So that kind of sucks. And, and now we're going to do it again. We got this giant casino thing that they want to build in the middle of the city. We got a housing crisis. Poor people can't afford to live here. We got this big chunk of land and stuff. What are we going to use it for? Games. More games. You know, like, are we children? Like, what should we spend the last money we have on? What should we use the land for? Games. But not games for actual children, right? Because the actual children have to go in, their schools have to go in the lottery to see if they get a new playground or if they just get their old playground knocked down and nothing built. You know, they're doing that in Vancouver right now. They're closing down elementary schools. So we're not using the land and the money for children's games. We're using them for games for like adult people who haven't grown up.
And I think the song you wrote for that really brings out the disgustingly sick hilarity behind that.
Yeah, I mean, they make, it's just like dumb. Well, thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You know, like, the thing is that I don't find political ranting that attractive, but I wind up doing it sometimes, and then I go, oh, God. But I much prefer to convey these things in fun songs that are entertaining. I don't like it when I get going on these things.
Right. And now for the show on Saturday, we'll definitely announce the time and place as we close the interview. But for those who haven't seen you play live before, what can they expect?
It's just a fun, kind of boozy, dancey show with great musicians and lots of odd, bookish people who like to drink all in one place, getting together and having a good time. And there's, you know, the music is about everything. So there's some politics and sex and there's stuff, humor, everything. And it's just a good time.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, and congratulations on the new album.
It's really kind of you to have me on. I hope you'll come down to the show.
Oh, I certainly will, and we'll definitely encourage our listeners as well.
Great.
Take care, Jeff.
Take care.
I have been speaking with Jeff Bernard. Jeff is a longtime singer-songwriter based here in Vancouver. You can check out his website at jeffbernard.com, and Jeff is spelled G-E-O-F-F. Burner is BERNER.com. His new album is called Victory Party, and the CD release show is tomorrow, Saturday, March 12th. The doors are at 8, and the show is at 9. That show will also include Orchestra Slilovica and Joanna Chapman-Smith with Catherine Peterson. All that is happening at the Wise Hall, which is located at 1882 Adnack Street, which is the corner with Victoria.